Okay, thank you everyone for coming. I don't know how you all made it here. As you can see, I barely made it here. You get to a point when you've told enough stories about a rabbi who, you know, came out to give a shiur to one person and it changed their life, that at some point you have to dig your car out and go give shiur. So I'm happy that everyone made it here. I hope everyone had a safe day. And we started last week, learning about the Dalet Yesodos. The Dalet Yesodos is described in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, the writings of the Baal Tanya. Again, I'm sorry there's no Mar Makomos sheets this week like we had last week. I was hoping to give out a sheet just between all the craziness today. The photocopying was not really such an option. But just to review, Rav Chaim Vital, in his Shari Kedusha, Rav Chaim Vital, the student of the Arizal, in his Shari Kedusha, in the first Chelek, says that man is made up of four Yesodos Tachtonim. Man is made up of four fundamental elements, foundations, and it's a combination of good and bad, and man has to sort of work through those yesodos to try to perfect himself. V'gufa adam notzer min atov shavar b'yesodos eish ruach mayim and afar. That man is, so to speak, made up on the foundation, is founded upon fire, wind, water, and earth. And last week we spoke about eish, the midah of eish, as it pertains to man, namely in the form of gaiva, a person who's haughty, and kaas, and a person who's angry. Tonight we're going to talk about ruach. There's different orders that one could use. I'm following the order of Rav Chaim Vital. He says, eish, ruach, mayim, and afar. In fact, I spent this past Shabbos in Chicago, the Windy City, so I figured if I go to the Windy City, maybe I'll be able to talk about ruach, a little bit more of an understanding of what it's about. But what does ruach correspond to? Which part within man is ruach? What does ruach mean to us? So I think if we look through Tanakh, ruach is often associated with dibur. For example, Yeshaya Perek Yud Aleph, v'ruach sifasav, the breath of a person's, right, the ruach of one's lips, speech. How about Shmuel Beis Parachav Gimel? Ruach Hashem Diber Bi. So ruach, and there's many psukim like this, many psukim that indicate that ruach, that breath, obviously, we understand it again, it's intuitive, that breath corresponds, that wind, that breath corresponds to dibur. What does that mean in terms of our midos, in terms of our emotional character development? So we come back to the Baal HaTanya, like we read last week, and the first parak of the Tanya, where the Baal HaTanya writes that the nefesh of the lower soul of man, as opposed to the nefesh elokis, the nefesh that's unique to the Jewish people, but the basic life force within every man that comes from the klipa, that comes from the sitra achra, that comes from, so to speak, the dark side, which is found within man's body, ki nefesh habasar badamhi, as it expresses itself in the blood, in the body. He said these four yesodos correspond to four different midos. So again, we spoke kas and gaiva, he says, is eish. Water, he says, is ta'anugim, is the pursuit of pleasure. We'll talk about that next week, God willing. Atzlus and atzvus is afar, like a clump of dirt, we said. Atzlus, atzvus, sadness, depression, laziness. And tonight we're going to talk about ruach, says the Baal HaTanya. What does ruach correspond to? In the negative, holulus v'leitzanus, levity. Person who is too quick to say silly things. Hisparus, a person who's always bragging or boasting. Dvarim betelim. That's all miyasod haruach. Levity, bragging, wasted words. That's all the negative side of ruach. Now there's a lot to speak about in terms of those few negative traits that the Baal Tanya has listed. Rav Chaim Vital in the Shara Kedusha, a little bit later in the Sefer, when he describes ruach, he adds a few other things. And again, all related to speech. He says, Yesod haruach mimenu nimshach dibur hanikra sicha betela. Ruach corresponds again in the negative to what we call sicha betela. Wanton words, wasted words. V'dvarim she'ein behem tzorach chlal, things that have no necessity. He says, not spiritual necessity and not physical necessity. Completely wanton words, sicha betela. V'toldos of arba, and he says there are four subcategories. He adds ones that the Baal Tanya didn't add. Lidaber chonef, flattery. Shakranim, lying. Lashon hara is a big deal. Ulagalos shvachav labrios lisgal b'fneim, and a person who's always talking about himself. Oh, I do this and I do that, so that people will praise him. Again, these are all the negative aspects of ruach. We don't have a lot of time, and I want to focus on the positive aspects of ruach. What's the positive? What's the flip side of ruach in the positive? So you'll tell me, holy speech. If all of the negative has to do with using one's breath, using one's speech in a destructive fashion, so obviously the positive side is going to be positive speech. But it's very interesting. Listen to what Rav Chaim Vital writes. By each of these midos, we have an opposite. Last week, the opposite of Eish, of Gaiva and Kas, was Anava, was humility. He says the opposite of Ruach, of Sicha Betela, of destructive speech, he says, is Shtika, is silence. First and foremost, it's silence. Ki'ilei lo yiftach piv, like a mute who can't open his mouth. With the exception of the study of Torah and mitzvos and necessary things, l'tzorach chavod abrios, adkan the words of Rav Chaim Vital. So I want to try to think about it. Why doesn't he say that the opposite of negative speech is positive speech? Why not talk about holy speech? Why not say a word of Torah, a word of tefillah, a word of encouragement, a compliment? Why is the status quo silence? Oh, and by the way, there's a heter. If you can figure out how to do it right, you're allowed to learn Torah, you're allowed to speak Torah, you're allowed to say words of tefillah, mitzvos, things that are necessary, it says, for the guf, l'tzorach chavod abrios. Why is the status quo silence? Why not encourage people? Talk positive things. Yeah, let's hear it.
The nature of the wind of the negative side seems to be that it's light and it doesn't penetrate. So therefore, the hopelessness, the silliness, is something that is very flippant and very transient. However, when one refrains from speaking, then one holds one's breath, and then the thought process of what one would say is deeper, and then you only speak when it's...
Right, so start, if I don't have that self-control to hold back, right, that's how I end up with all these negative things. So silence has to be sort of the foundation to even begin to have proper speech. Yeah, certainly true. Certainly true. So I think I think part of the simple answer, again building a little bit off what Rabbi Blackstein's saying, is that if I don't have that foundation of silence, but let's just talk practical for a second. I want to be a good Jew. That's what these shiurim are about. We're trying to figure out how do I use the various parts of my soul to become a better Jew. I want to be a good Jew. So practically speaking, I'm safer off being silent than talking. I'm better off, I'm more guarded if I choose to be silent as opposed to try to speak. Practically, I have a better chance of staying out of trouble. Because speaking properly is very hard. Opening your mouth in the right way, in the Torah way, is a very difficult thing to do. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Berov devarim lo yechdal pesha. Most words are not without sin. That means most of the time when a person opens their mouth, they're sinning. And therefore, says the end of the Pasuk, V'chosech sefasav maskil. The wise person, he keeps his mouth shut. He's better off. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, if a word is worth a sella, silence is worth two. It's a better bet to bet on silence. Speech is sometimes a matter of life and death. How about the pasuk a little later in Mishlei? Maves v'chaim biyad lashon. That sometimes death and life is dependent upon the lashon, dependent upon the tongue. And notice how Shlomo HaMelech with his great wisdom puts maves before chaim. It's easier to kill, it's easier to destroy, to harm with speech, than it is for a person to grant life. The Chafetz Chaim, just to take one of the things from the list of Rav Chaim Vital, Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim dedicated his whole life to teaching Jews just how quickly you could destroy with Lashon Hara. 31 Isurim, the Chafetz Chaim compiles 31 potential Isurei de Araisa, in addition to several curses, several Arurim, right? Arur Amakas, Rehu Beseser. Cursed is the one who strikes his friend secretively, so if you speak nasty about someone behind their back, so you're cursed by the Torah. And we're dealing with very, very weighty things. Other people's lives are on the line. The Gemara says, when you speak Lashon Hara, you kill people. Your own life is on the line. There's an amazing comment from Rav Nachum Mendel of Rimanov, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It's brought by the Bnei Yisasker. Bnei Yisasker wrote a sefer, Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov wrote a sefer on mitzvahs called Derech Pekudecha. And in Derech Pekudecha, he quotes from the Rimanov, Rav Nachum Mendel of Rimanov, who said that when a person speaks Sicha Betela, it's possible that he's in violation. It's a subcategory. It's avazrayu. It's a subcategory of one of the Ten Commandments. Which one? Lo sirtzach. Lo sirtzach. Don't kill. When you waste your words, if you're harming someone else, you're murdering them. If you're just wasting your words, you know, I'm just shooting the breeze, as people say. Shooting the breeze. Ruach. When a person just talks, yeah? Lo sirtzach, you're killing yourself, says Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimanov. And he quotes from Pasuk in Shir HaShirim in the fifth parak, Nafshi Yotza Bidabro, which the Sefer Chasidim and the Medrash HaGadol say, a concept, you know, the little myth busters here, right? True or not true? A person has a set number of words when they're born, when you run out of those words, you die. According to Torah, true. It's not just like a rumor you picked up somewhere along the way. It's a Medrash HaGadol, it's a Sefer Hasidim. And Rav Menachem Mendel Rimanov says, it's suicidal. When you waste your words, it's suicidal. It's a subcategory of Lo Sirtzach. And it's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Nafshi Yatza B'Davro. That my soul expired by his word. That means when I run out of words, my life is over. So it's very, very dangerous for a person, it's exceptionally dangerous for a person to open up his mouth. A person says, I'm basically neutral. I'm not speaking positive, I'm not speaking negative. It's neutral. But there's no neutral. There's no neutral. Sicha b'teila, which we so often associate with neutral, is in fact perhaps Isurei da'araisa. Listen to this very frightening Gemara. This is not demanding Chazal are with regard to a person opening up his mouth. It's a Gemara in Yoma on Daf Yud Testament base. Tana Rabba. We say it every day. Kabbalah zol machas shemayim kriyashma. Vidibar taba. We make a commitment, vidibar tabam, to speak words of Torah. Shenatam levanecha vidibar tabam. To speak them, to talk about them. Talk words of Torah. Says the Gemara in Yoma Yud Testament base, Bam yesh lecha rishus ledaber, about them, about Torah, you have permission to speak. Velo bidvar macherim, but about nothing else. It's pretty intense. Vidibarta bam velo bidvar macherim. You only have rishus to open your mouth to speak words of Torah, and not to speak anything else. Now let's just pause here in the Gemara for a moment. Share some interesting things, since everyone, Mesiras Nefesh, come out on a snowy night like this, a frozen night like this. Why is bam the code word for Torah? Vidibarta bam. So I'll just share very quickly a couple of very interesting things. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, is quoted in many places. One place is a Sefer on Chumash called the Sha'ar Bas Rabim and Parshas Mesora, quotes from the Vilna Gaon that the reason that bam is a code word for Torah, vidibarta bam velo bedvar macherim, because the first word of Torah Shebichsav is Bereshis, it starts with the base. The first word of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the first Mishnah in Brachos, is Me'emasai, starts with a Mem. So Vidibarta Bam, the only thing, says the Vilna Gaon, that you're allowed to speak, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Sheba'al Peh, you can do Bereshis, you can do Me'emasai, but that's it. And the Vilna Gaon adds a beautiful remez from a pasuk in Tehillim Samaches. The pasuk says, Rechav Elokim Ribosayim, Alfei Shanan, Adonai Bam Sinai Bakodesh. And the Vilna Gaon says, Adonai Bam Sinai Bakodesh is also a reference again. The Bam of Sinai, of course, is the Beis of Bereshis and the Mem of Me'emasai, which makes up the entirety of Torah. Other Sfarim bring it a little bit differently, not B'Shem the Gra, but they bring it a little differently. If you start from the Beis of Bereshis and you go all the way through Torah Shebaal Peh to the end, what's the last Mesechta in Shas, in Mishnayis? Uksin. And what's the last Mishnah in Uksin? How does the last line of Uksin, how does Shas end? It ends, Hashem Yivarech Esamo Bashalom. So that's even a Mem Sofit. It's mamish. From the Beis of Bereshis to the Mem Sofit of the word Bashalom that ends, Meseches Uksin, the last Mesechta in Shas, Vidibarta Bam, Velo B'Dvar Macherim. Talk as much Torah as you want, but don't talk about anything else. Why? Because when you open your mouth, Ro Dvarav, Lo Yechdal Pesha, you're going to get yourself in trouble. I was thinking perhaps this is the secret of what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Paro, ki ma'ein atolish aleach v'odcha machazik bam, in Parshas Va'era. If you continue to hold on to the Jews and you're machzik bam, what does it mean you're machzik bam? It means as long as you hold the Jews back, there's no Kabbalah Satorah. There's no bam, there's no vidibar to bam. So Hashem says to Paro, how long are you going to hold back my bam? How long are you going to hold back my vidibar to bam? I want to transmit the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Every time we pick up a physical Sefer Torah, many Sefer Torah, not all, but many Sefer Torah, my father could probably give you the stats better, but many Sefer Torah have actually a remez on the columns in front of you. How many lines do we write in the Sefer Torah? The Torah, in Yoredei Reish Ayin Hei, says there are different minhagim. Some have a minhag to do 48, no more than 60. That's what's brought in Masechah Sofrim. Rav Yehuda Bartzaloni Kosov Membeis. Rav Yehuda Bartzaloni, quoted by the Torah, says you should have 42 lines in each column of the Sefer Torah. What's the secret of 42 lines? Says the Torah, V'siman, the pasuk that we mentioned a moment ago in Tehillim Samaches, Hashem Bam Sinai Bakodesh. Says Rabbeinu Yerucham, one of the great Rishonim. There's different minhagim, 48, 60, 42. In the Tshuva to Rav Haigon, how many lines should there be? Writes Rav Haigon, Hein Mem Beis Shitin, V'ein Lifchos Mehen. 42 lines, you shouldn't have any less. V'kach Nahoguzal V'hasofrim Hazrizin. The best scribes write 42 lines. That's what's recorded in the writings of Rabbeinu Yerucham. And again, perhaps, he brings other Ramezim about why 42, what's Mem, what's Beis, but again, V'divarta Bam. Bam, you have Rishus to speak and nothing else. So now we return to the Gemara in Yoma, Yutes. The Gemara in Yoma, Yutes says, V'divarta Bam, v'lo b'dvar mechir. Continues the Gemara, Rav Acha Omer, V'divarta Bam, asay osan kava v'alta samarai. Make Torah permanent in your life. Do not let it be something casual in your life. Amar Rava, listen to this, Hasach sichas chulin. Person says, I'm just schmoozing. Hasach, see, a terrifying Gemara, I think for any normal person. Hasach sichas chulin, a person who utters a mundane word, a word of chol, over ba'asei. Over ba'asei. You violated a mitzvah sase. It's an aveira. What does that mean? What aveira? Shenemar v'dibarta bam, bam v'lo b'dvar macherim. So every word that's not accounted for, v'dibarta bam v'lo v'dvar machir, you're violated the positive commandment of v'dibarta bam. Rav Acha bar Yaakov goes further, over balav. Not only do you get the penalty for violating a positive command, right, but you've also violated a negative command. Really? Yes. A pasuk in Kohelis. Kol ha'dvar migeim lo yuchal ish ledaber. So every time a person speaks sichas chulin, a possible bittul asay, a lo sa'asei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very not into sichas chulin. So I'll ask a simple question. So why doesn't Hashem just write in the Torah, don't speak sichas chulin? Why do we have to do this in this whole roundabout way? B'dibar tabam, you should be speaking Torah. But lo b'dvar mechem, you shouldn't speak anything else. Why didn't Hashem just write in the Torah, listen, speech is mamish, the source of your life. Don't waste your words. Why didn't Hashem write, don't speak dvarim b'talim? Why does Hashem have to write in this roundabout way, b'dibar tabam, and we infer in the Gemara, lo b'dvar machirim. So I saw a letter that was written, a published letter from Rav Yaakov Naiman, the author of the Darchei Musar, to Rav Dov Eliach. And he writes in this letter the answer to this question. V'dibarta bam, v'lo b'dvar machirim. Why not just tell me not to speak sichas chulin? He says, because if the Torah said don't speak sichas chulin, what would we all do? We would all say, well, my speech is not sichas chulin. So therefore the Torah is very clear. V'dibarta bam, v'lo b'dvar machirim. Just speak Torah. Because if we're going to allow you, we're just going to tell you, oh, be careful not to speak sichas chulin. We're going to say, well, this is necessary, and this is absolutely necessary, and this is absolutely necessary. It'll rationalize everything. So the Torah wants to be very clear about its position on this. V'dibarta bam, speak Torah, to the exclusion of everything else. This is a terrifying Gemara. And thankfully for us, the Jewish people who want to be good Jews, thankfully, this Gemara does not make its way into the Shulchan Aruch. It does not appear in the Rambam. However, I will just mention, I'll take your comment in 1 second, I will just mention that the Magen Avraham, in Simen Kuf Nun Vav, in Orach Chaim Simen Kuf Nun Vav, puts together a whole list, Magen Avraham is one of the great poskim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, he puts together a whole list of Ma'amari Chazal that for whatever reason didn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch or the Rambam. That's not helpful for us, that just makes it harder. And he puts this on the list. He puts on the list, Hasach Sichas Chulin over Ba'asei, and he quotes Yoma Yotessam at base. So again, it might be a Midas Chasidus to be sensitive to this. Rav Chaim V'Lajan had a brother, Rav Zalman of V'Lajan. Rav Zalman of V'Lajan was mamish, a living example of a Dibarta Bam V'lo B'dvar Machir. And it's brought in his biography that told us Adam in the 7th Parak, on page 111, it's brought the following suffix that he had, Rav Zalman of V'Lajan, who only spoke Torah. He said that when he used to go to the bathhouse in V'Lajan, when he would go to the bathhouse in V'Lajan, he wasn't sure if he's allowed to talk about regular things. Because in the bathhouse, you're not allowed to speak Torah. So Rav Chaim V'Lajner, it's brought in his brother's biography, a very authentic biography, written by someone who knew Rav Chaim V'Lajner and Rav Zalman, his brother. They say Rav Zalman was a bigger Talmud Chacham. He's less known than Rav Chaim. They're both Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. They say, so Rav Chaim writes that in his younger years, Rav Zalman paskin l'kula. And they said it was a wondrous thing to see. This Rav Zalman, you could not get him to talk about anything other than Torah ever, but in the bathhouse, when he was in the bathhouse, when he was online by the mikvah, you know, waiting in the room where everyone's changing, we're not allowed to speak words of Torah, he was always asking questions about what's happening in the neighboring towns, he wants to know about the news, you know, get the local sports updates, right? He got everything in the bathhouse, because he paskin l'kula, that if you're in a place where you're not allowed to speak Torah, then you're still a human being, and man has a desire to speak, so you're allowed to speak regular things. But again, this is a very scary Gemara. Yeah, please.
The Gemara says that Dibar Tabam v'lo sichas chulin. Does it
Well, first the Gemara said the Dibarta Bam, the lo bedvarim achirim, period. Nothing else. Then the Gemara says Sichas Chul is a lo sasei and an asei. Okay, so we have to. For sure. But there were tzaddikim who took this very literally. The Vilna Gaon sat and didn't talk to people. The Kotzker Rebbe spent the last 20 years of his life in seclusion. So there were people, again, I'm not recommending this, and again, thankfully, this is not the halachas recorded in Hilchos Talmud Torah, neither in the Rambam nor the Shulchan Aruch. It's very intense, it's hard to understand. The Gemara even has a line over there in that Gemara. I didn't quote this line. The Gemara says, V'dibarta bam v'lo b'tfila. Torah, no tfila. No davening, only Torah. Sounds crazy to us, right? Very, very, very demanding. So I think this is the practical side, again, of why Rav Chaim Vital says, if you want to work on a Ruach, your best bet, again, if you're a practical person who's self-aware and understands the severity of Sichas Chulin, the danger of opening your mouth, so it's better for a person to keep entirely quiet. A person has to learn how to speak in the right way, and it's not so easy. Rov Dvarav Lo Yechtal Pesha. It's not so easy to open your mouth without sinning. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, created us with the ability to speak and the desire to speak. In fact, it's the most basic expression of our humanity. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam HaRishon, Bereishis Perek Beis, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Asa Adam Ofer Min HaAdama, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, Vayihi HaAdam LeNefesh Chaya, and God made man, Nefesh Chaya, a living spirit, says Unkelus, Vahavas Ba'adam L'Ruach Memalala, that Hashem made man, not just a living spirit, but a Ruach Memalala. Ruach Memalala. The Ruach of man, interesting, using the word Ruach as opposed to Nefesh, Uncle says, Ruach Memalala, a Ruach that desired Memalala to speak. Rashi says that's what separates us from animals. So you're telling, right, so how can we sit and not, now again, we're allowed to speak Torah as much as we want, but you're saying it's natural for a person to want to communicate. And Hashem certainly knows that, that's how He made us. That's the most basic expression of our humanity. That's what it means to have a neshama. The problem is, if man is just a neshama, then we're okay. The neshama has what to say. The neshama has good things to say. The neshama is able to make the right choices in terms of what it says. But the problem is that man is a combination of neshama and guf. And for the guf doesn't know what to say. The body, which is afar min adama, doesn't know what to say. Speech is not connected to the body which comes from the earth. Speech, as we see clearly from the pasuk, is connected to the Ruach Mamalala, the speaking spirit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into man. But the body, which is earthly, it's unrefined, it's not able to express itself in the right way, it's better for the body to keep quiet. Where do we see that the body has no shaykhis, no connection to the concept of speech? A fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin Samachayim at base. Rava Bara Gavra. Rava created a golem. Rava created some type of creature, some type of living creature. Now again, we know a person can't create in that type of way. We can't, no matter how much Kabbalistic knowledge, which the Gemara says he used for Yetzirah, no matter how much Kabbalistic knowledge a person has to create, we can't create life in the way that Hashem creates life, right? Or in the way that naturally a husband and wife are able to create life. So Rava created some type of golem, some type of living being. Again, whatever your picture of a golem might be. Shadre lekamei Rabbi Zeira. He sent it to Rabbi Zeira. Hava kamashtai ba'adei. Rabbi Zeira was talking to this golem. V'lo hava kamahadr lei. But this gavra wasn't able to respond to Rabbi Zeira. Amr lei min chavrai at. You must have been created by my friend. Hadar la'africh. Go back to your dirt. If you can't speak, then you're not a real person. You look like a person. But the fact that you can't speak is an indication that what? That you're not really alive. You don't have an neshama. And he says, go back to the dirt. Interesting questions in terms of, you know, he's allowed to kill him, right? Is he not alive enough that you're just allowed to destroy him? Told him, go back to your dirt. But you could see, again, from this Gemara, that the afar aspect of humanity, of a person, has no connection to speech. It's only the neshama, v'yipach b'pav nishmas chayim, v'yadam lenefesh chaya, that creates ruach mamala, creates the speaking spirit. And therefore, for the body, it's best to be quiet. Says the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos in the first parak, Shimon beno Omer, kol yamai gadalti ben hachachamim. I grew up amongst people who really know how to talk. People who know how to use the koach hadibur for Torah, for tefillah, for positive words. And yet, says Rabbi Shimon, v'lo matzasi laguf tov el ashtika. For the body, I found that there's nothing better than silence. The neshama has what to say, but the body needs to be so careful. And again, v'dibar tabam v'lo b'dvar macher. On the one hand, there's a part of ourselves that so badly wants to speak, to express our soul, to mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah keneged kulam, the greatest mitzvah of all, speaking words of Torah. And at the same time, we're so threatened, we're so afraid of what the Talmud Yerushalmi says, that same koach hadibur, lashon hara keneged kulam. Lashon hara keneged kulam. It's such a delicate thing, speech. Mavis v'chayim biyad lashon. I don't want to destroy Hashem's world with my koach hadibur. I know I could build the world with Torah. I could be mekayim the world. A word of Torah, Nefesh HaChayim says, keeps the world spinning. But a word of Lashon Hara also can destroy the world. It can bring a mabul to the world. The Sfarim say, we can't go into it now, but the Sfarim say that pasuk I mentioned earlier in Mishlei, Maves v'chayim biyad lashon, is Rashi Tevo's mabul. Because when my speech is not proper, you bring a mabul to the world. There could have been a mabul of Torah at that time. Hashem wanted to give the Torah to the people in the time of Noach. In the end, they got a mabul of destructive waters that destroyed the world. And a lot of what their aveiros had to do with, even though again, you don't necessarily see that on the surface, but it had to do with misplaced speech. And therefore, it's such a delicate thing. It's like the Ramban writes in a letter, it's printed in the Kisvei Ramban, in the seventh letter. The Ramban describes his experience when he came to Yerushalayim. Now again, the Ramban, when he came to Yerushalayim, you know, wasn't like Yerushalayim today. And the Ramban said, when he looked at Yerushalayim, the holiest place on earth, and it was so desolate, and he said it seemed more broken than other parts of Eretz Yisrael that he saw with his own eyes. And the Ramban very, very painfully and very beautifully said, "Kol ha-makudash mechaver, anything that has potential for greater sanctity also has potential for greater chorban." And he said, therefore Yerushalayim was more broken than anything. Because in its state of Chorban, it's the most broken. And in its state of elevation, when it's in a state of Tikkun, when the Kedush of Yerushalayim is able to express itself, then it's the most Kadosh, the most beautiful place in the world. Klilas Yofi, it's the most beautiful place in the world. But again, this is the danger, this is the threat of a person who wants to open his mouth. I want to open my mouth. I have a nefesh chaya, I want to speak, Ruach Mamala. But my body tells me, and my nefesh, aware of its body, says maybe I shouldn't. There's one other mishnah in Pirkei Avos that speaks about the importance of silence. I don't remember the Maamar Chazal in the third parak. Siyag l'chachma shtika. A siyag for chachma is shtika. So I was thinking about that Maamar Chazal, and I was thinking about a Targum Yerushalmi that appears on the very first word of the Torah. Bereshis bara Elokim, says the Targum Yerushalmi, b'chuchma bara Hashem. Or in some of those chalas, b'chuchmisa. Bereshis is translated as what? With chachma. With chachma el yona. The Zohar talks about what it means that Bereshis bara Elokim, that Hashem created the world with chachma el yona. Look at Rabbeinu Bachai, look at the Rikanti, look at some of the earlier Rishonim. You see very interesting things about the chachma by which Hashem created the world. So man in the second parak is given a koach hadibur, and yet we're warned in Pirkei Avos, siyag l'chachma shtika. What's chachma? The entirety of creation. Bereshis b'chuchmisa. Don't mess up my world, Hashem says. My world was created with great chachma. And therefore, your job in this world is to be quiet. Siyag l'chachma shtika. If you want to have chachma, if you want to be able to not damage my world, then a person needs to be quiet. And again, this is the balance that we're living with. On the one hand, wanting so badly to express ourselves, that natural desire to speak, and at the same time, feeling that I should refrain. That balance, I think, is captured so beautifully in a Gemara in Chulin, Pei Tesamad Aleph, I'm sorry. That balance of wanting to be so expressive, to talk so much, to communicate with others, to communicate with Hashem, to communicate, to speak words of Torah, even again the most extreme version of Dibar Tabam V'lo B'Dvar Macherim, and yet the part of myself that feels that if I open my mouth, I'm going to do something stupid. I'm going to ruin Hashem's world. I'm going to insult someone. Right? I'm going to kill someone. Lashon Hara. I'm going to speak a word that could be so destructive, my whole life could be ruined because of a comment. A relationship could be completely destroyed and overturned because of a single word. Mavis v'chaim biyad lashon. It could be a mabul. Mavis v'chaim biyad lashon. Rashi Tevo's mabul. It could bring a mabul to the world. And I don't want to open my mouth. Says the Gemara in Chulin Pei Tesamad Aleph, explaining a pasuk in Tehillim Nun Ches. Ma'idich Sev Amr of Yitzchak. May dechsev ha'umnam eilem tzedek tidaberun, meisharim tishpetu b'nei adam. Says the Gemara, ha'umnam. Ha'umnam sounds like a lashon of umnus, profession. Ma umnaso shal adam ba'olam hazeh. What is man's profession? What is man's job in this world? Whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, an artist, a teacher, whatever you are, a bus driver, but every person, every part of humanity has one umnus, has one job. What's your job? Ma umnaso shal adam ba'olam hazeh? Yasim atzmo ki'ilim. He should make himself like an ilim, like a mute. That's your job in this world. Says the Gemara, Yachal Afle Divrei Torah. Maybe I can't talk at all. I can't even talk words of Torah. Says the Pasuk, Tzedek Tidaberun. If you could figure out how to speak words of Tzedek, Torah-dic words, not only learning Torah, I don't think the Gemara is saying only learning Torah, but if I could speak in a Torah way, so then open your mouth. But again, the starting point, the foundation is what? Is Yasim Atzmo Ke'ile. Make yourself like a mute. And again, it's that very difficult balance that a person is grappling with. If you can figure it out, tzedek tidaberun. You think the Chavetz Chaim was a quiet person? We probably imagine the Chavetz Chaim, who was so obsessed with the Koach HaDibur, was a quiet person. I have a little sefer at home from the Chavetz Chaim's son, Sichos Me'avi Mori, and he writes that, I think it's on the third page, he writes that he says, my father talked a lot. The Chavetz Chaim was very chatty. But you know how hard the Chavetz Chaim worked on himself to be able to open his mouth in that way? People in the presence of the Chavetz Chaim didn't really want to talk very much. Right? The Chavetz Chaim did most of the talking around the Shabbos table. Everyone else was nervous. I'm going to speak a word of Lashon Hara in front of the Chavetz Chaim. I get nervous at my Shabbos table. I have a picture, supposed picture of the Chavetz Chaim on my dining room wall. You get nervous, you know, the conversation starts to shift. He's like pointing to the picture of the Chavetz Chaim on the wall. You can imagine sitting with the Chavetz Chaim. But he spoke a lot. His son says he spoke a lot. But most of us, again, says Rav Chaim Vital, silence. If you want to use the koach of ruach in the right way, you're better off. Err on the side of silence until you figure out how to speak, perhaps in a Torah way. But that's very depressing. If we stop now with 10 minutes to go, we had a very depressing takeaway from the shir, and we all walk out of here very quietly, and we nod to each other, good Shabbos, and by the morning, hopefully, we get our koach of dibur back, and we start to speak again. There has to be something more. It can't be that Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal, is pushing us away from speech and telling us that silence is the highest expression of ruach. It sounds so b'di'evan. So it must be that everything we've explained until this point is the lower understanding of silence. It must be that there's a higher, a deeper dimension to silence. What's the deeper dimension to silence? The deeper dimension to silence is not b'di'evet at all. Again, the lower dimension is, I don't know how to speak the right way, so I'm better keeping my mouth shut. Because berov dvarov lo yechdal pesha. Because mavis v'chayim biad lashon. But there's another dimension to silence where a person says, you know what? I have so much to say. I know how to say such profound things, but it's so deep, it's so profound, what I want to express that I can't even express it. And therefore I choose to what? It's almost like a silent scream. I think the best way to explain it is with a story. And it's a story that's true about many tzaddikim, but I'll tell you one version that I know is authentic. And again, we've all heard variations probably of something of this type. But I'll tell you the story about Rav Elia Lopian and the Briskerov. Rav Elia Lopian once came on Chol HaMoed Sukkos to visit the Briskerov. And the whole way there, he was followed by some Talmidim. They came along. They wanted to see these two great tzaddikim, these Torah giants, interact. And he came to the Briskerov, and the whole way there he was chazaring over what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, I think it's Daf Tazayin, the person's chayiv to visit his Rebbe on the Moed, Rav Elia Lopian coming to one of the Gedolei Ador, the Briskerov, the Grizz, Ravelvel, and he comes in and he sits down. And he's surrounded by, you know, loving family members who want to hear this conversation, want to catch a glimpse, right, the Talmidim, Rav Elia Lopian, and the Briskerov and Rav Elia Lopian are just sitting there. And, you know, a minute goes by, maybe each one's throwing kavod to the other, who's going to start the conversation. But there's no, you look at them, everyone else in the room is like, after a minute or two, is starting to get uncomfortable. This awkward silence hanging over the room. And the two of them are just like smiling at each other. They're just sitting there. Rav Elia and the Briskerov, just sitting there in complete silence. And 2 minutes go by, and 5 minutes go by, and 10 minutes go by, and 20 minutes go by. And after it felt like probably for many people there, hours and hours and hours, but after a decent amount of time, all of a sudden Rav Elia got up, and he said, B'kut Moed, B'kut Yontiv, and he walked out. And they said that when Rav Elia got back to wherever he was lodging, he was like very shaken by this encounter with the Brisker Rav. He was very nispal. He needed to like unpack everything the Brisker Rav had said in that wordless conversation. So everyone was wondering, like, what was going on there, right? Were they just they showing cover to each other? They didn't know what to say. And Rav Elia made it clear, the one thing the Talmidim did understand was that there was a lot that was shared in that silent conversation. Sometimes a person thinks, I need to talk, and I'm talking in a positive way, I'm using my words for good things. But says Rav Chaim Vital, the highest dimension of Ruah is an elevated silence that's screaming out a message that's so profound that it expresses itself in silence. It can barely be heard. And only two tzaddikim sitting, looking each other in the eye on a Chol HaMoed Sukkos, with everyone else standing around scratching their head, only those two tzaddikim could hear that conversation. There was a tzaddik, Rav Mendel Vorker, in 40 years, you know how many times he shared Torah? You know, some rabbis share Torah Friday night, and then Shabbos day, and then the whole Maimra Chal Shuddis, and maybe a Malka, and a Tish, and a this, and a that. Rav Mendel Vorker, in 40 years, spoke 8 times. It's not because he didn't have anything to say. It's because he understood that there's a profundity to silence. Right? It's not Siyog L'Chachma Shtika. Keep quiet so you don't mess up my world, Hashem says. Hashem says the same way that I express myself with the Kol D'mama Daka. Right? That small, thin, still voice that Hashem reveals Himself to the world in. So try to tap into that. That's what Rav Chaim Vital is saying. This is what Rabbi Nachman of Breslov describes in a very famous piece, which I know some people in the room know, but it's always worthwhile to review. And those who haven't heard it, it's a very beautiful piece in the Sichos Haran. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, in the very first piece in the Sichos Haran, he writes, quoting from the words of David HaMelech, Ki ani adati ki gadol Hashem v'adoneinu mikol elokim. Elohim. I know that Hashem is greater than any other power, than any other godlike being. David HaMelech olav shalom amar. Ki ani adati. David says, I know Hashem. So you come to David and you say, David, teach me about Hashem. I also want to know Hashem. Relate to me what you know about Hashem. Ani yadaiti daika. I know it, but I can't convey it to you. I can't transmit it to you. Ki gedulas habori yisbarach I efshar lomer l'chavero. Because sometimes you understand something in such a profound way that you can't share it. The way to express that chachma, siyag l'chachma shtika, is to express it by not expressing it. By realizing, by telling the other person, if I try to express it to you, I'm just cheapening it. Go figure it out for yourself, what that is. Go figure out what this holy silence is all about. Sometimes I can't even explain it to myself from one day to the next, as Rabbi Nachman. Because I can't even, I tasted it when I was there, but I can't even explain it to myself the next day in words. It remains forever trapped again in that sacred silence. And he says, it's gavoa ma'od ma'od, gavoa mi'al gavoa. It's not a bidyevet silence. Yasam atzmo ke'ilein, because you're scared you're gonna say something which chas v'shalom could be offensive, or could be a violation of the Torah, or many violations of the Torah according to the Chafetz Chaim. But rather, you keep it inside because ani adati, only I know it, and I can't share it with anyone else. Like it says in the Zohar, noda b'sha'arim ba'ala, on the pasuk in Mishlei, we know from Eish Eschayil, Kol chad lepum ma deshar belibe. Know the b'sha'arim bala. Each person has his shar. Each person has his gateway, the gateway of the mouth, and a person knows what to say and what to keep inside. Ani adati, says David HaMelech, I know how great Hashem is, but I can't share that with anyone else. This is the higher level, the secret higher level of silence that again I think Rav Chaim Vital is alluding to. So now let's come full circle and come to the parsha. Because everything that's been happening as we've been emerging and have been suffering and now emerging from Mitzrayim is rooted in everything that we explained tonight. In Mitzrayim, there was a complete breakdown in speech. The Zohar writes in Parshas Ve'era, 2 weeks ago, the Zohar says, and many Sifrei Chassidus elaborate upon it, that Dibur was in Gullus in Mitzrayim. Dibur, speech, was in Gullus. And that's why Moshe says, Ani Aral Svasayim, Am Kvad Peh. Moshe is the representation of all of Klal Yisrael. He's the Neshama Kolelis. He represents everyone. Moshe says, I can't speak. I can't communicate. I don't know what to say. I can't do this. Klal Yisrael can barely cry out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They don't know how to raise their voice. Finally, Klal Yisrael starts to express themselves. finally, the freedom of Klal Yisrael is the Dibur emerging from Galus, as all the Sifrei Kodesh, all the Svarim HaKadoshim, all the Sifrei Chassidus explain, Sifrei Kabbalah explain, that speech starts to emerge once again. But in Mitzrayim, everything with regards to speech was completely broken. The pasuk says, "Vayavidu Mitzrayim es bnei Yisrael befarach," that the Egyptians afflicted the Jewish people befarach, with back-breaking labor. Says Rashi, Shmos Parak Aleph, "Ba'avoda kasha mifareches es haguf u'mishbarto." It was back-breaking labor. It was labor that breaks the guf, because the guf again is the part that doesn't know how to speak. The guf doesn't understand how to communicate. Befarach beperach, they use evil speech against us to take advantage of us. The Svarim say paro is osios pera, bad speech. Of course, we emerge from Mitzrayim and we come to Pesach, once again being able to speak, the Pesach Seder, where the whole mitzvah is what? Is a person should speak. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol amar belesaper hariz a meshubach. We finally learn how to speak once again. So the simple way to learn what happened in Mitzrayim, what was broken in Mitzrayim, is that what? We were silenced in a painful way. And the salvation from Mitzrayim is what? Is being able to talk. Kol amar belesaper hariz a meshubach. But I'd like to suggest, and again, with just 2 minutes, we'll daven Maariv. I'd like to suggest that we know that everything that happened in Mitzrayim was really a bracha in disguise. The more broken it was, the more it was a bracha in disguise. So we could learn the sugya of the Golas HaDibor as saying Dibor was stuck, and when we left Mitzrayim, Dibor came back. We learned how to speak again. We were like the Chofetz Chaim. We didn't have to be afraid to open our mouth lest we speak Lashon Hara. We knew how to speak. But we explain that there's something higher than Dibor. There's something that's even higher than Dibor. There's a holy silence that goes beyond words. And therefore, if the Egyptians were afflicting us to the point that Gullus had Dibor, we couldn't speak at all, we were forced into a painful silence, says the Navi Yeshaya, and all the Sfarim describe again, V'nagaf Hashem es Mitzrayim, Nagof v'rafal. Chazal say, Nagof, afflicting the Egyptians and healing Klal Yisrael. The same way that everything that they were doing to afflict us was actually, in some secret way, healing us. When the Egyptians were getting makos, we were getting healed. Which means that Hashem didn't just give us back Dibor. Hashem didn't just free us from our silence and give us the ability to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as He afflicted the Egyptians and healed Klal Yisrael, He taught us the secret of that elevated silence that goes beyond speech. There's a silence that's a bidyevet, I don't know how to speak. Then there's the ability to speak, v'dibarta b'am, hopefully I can speak words of holiness. But then there's a silence that goes above and beyond. And that's what Klal Yisrael experienced by Kabbalah Satorah. Says the Medrash, when the Jews stood at Har Sinai, Om Rabbi Abau B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, a bird didn't chirp, a bird didn't flap its wings, an ox didn't make a sound, nothing in the world, the angels didn't move. The ocean was completely still. Habrios lo dibru, not a single person was speaking when we got the Torah. V'dibarta bam, v'lo b'dvar macherim. Oh, so Hashem's just telling us, make sure you learn to keep your mouth shut so you don't get yourself into trouble. That's very b'dievet. That's not what happened at Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us the secret of higher level silence. Ela ha'olam shosek u'machrish, the world was completely silent. V'yotzei ha'kol anochi Hashem alokecha. And Hashem spoke. And like Rav Eliel Lopian and the Brisker Rav, again, those who were standing there understood what was being spoken amidst that silence. And the rest of the world was left scratching their head wondering, what was Hashem and Klal Yisrael? What were they sharing in that secretive moment? We live in a very, very noisy world. A lot of speech, a lot of Lashon Hara, a lot of cheap talk in the world today. And therefore, we have to understand both these dimensions of what it means to be attacking that inyan of Ruach, the Ruach Mamala, that again, that defines our humanity. On the one hand, to know how to keep our mouth shut, to avoid the dangers of speech, but at the same time, to strive for that higher level of silence. Again, the Rav Chaim Vital says, again, the tikkun for Ruach is not, first he says it's shtika. It's also you're allowed to speak Torah. But what we're really striving for, the highest level that we're striving for is that higher level of shtika. I'll just end with a little comment that my brother once shared with me. He said he once heard that Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zatzal, who passed away recently, the great Baal Machshava, when Rav Moshe Shapiro would give shiurim, people of course would always want to record the shiurim, they'd want to listen to the shiurim. So he said he was very upset, because at one point they started putting out fancier tape recorders that when the speaker would stop speaking, so the recording would stop recording. And this way, there wouldn't be any of those blank spaces in the recording. And Rav Moshe Shapiro was very upset. Because he said, when I pause during the shiur, when there's that moment of silence in the shiur, or as we'll see in the Torah, this Shabbos in the Shira of the Torah, right, which is written with all sorts of blank spaces along the way, throughout the Shira, moments of what? Moments for reflection. Rav Moshe Shapiro said, when I pause during the shiur, that's part of the shiur. That silence, that white that surrounds each of the letters of the Torah, the blank spaces, so to speak, is even deeper than that which is written in the Torah. So, Mirta Hashem, we should understand the secret of the silence. We should understand the tikkun of ruach. Again, obviously on the most basic level, to be careful of lying, of lashon hara, of flattery. To use our speech, v'dibarta b'am, to speak words of Torah, to speak words of tefillah, to speak words of encouragement. But again, to strive for this lofty level of silence. To be again in that kol demama daka moment, that silent moment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we experienced at Har Sinai. And that's what really emerged, when Klal Yisrael emerged from the Galus Mitzrayim. They were silenced in a very painful way in Mitzrayim. But they emerged with the holiness, the depth and the profundity of what it really means to be silent when they went out of Mitzrayim. And so to Emir Tzashem, we should have that same experience as we work on this inyan of being metakin our ruach. Thank you very much and good Shabbos.